don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Reading that verse 9 once again, Joshua 1, 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then looking in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. All of Psalm 27. Thank you, Father, once again, for the wonderful privilege of being a part of your family. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for health and strength and the opportunity to know you and to serve you each and every day. Thank you for the privilege of being a disciple and being involved in the work of making disciples. And thank you for your Holy Spirit who empowers us to effectively carry out that important responsibility each and every day. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit of grace and mercy. Empower us to be faithful in doing the work, the joyful work, and the enjoyable work of making disciples. More and more, empower us to be faithfully carrying out that work every day of our lives in the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, I just want to ask that you'd help us grow our wants. Heavenly Father, pray also that you'd help us grow our expectations. Heavenly Father, there's so many things that you've called us to do and so many promises that you've made for us. And I pray that you'd help shape our minds and shape our hearts that we desire things as you would have them, that we'd want things as you'd have us walk in. Heavenly Father, I pray that we'd be more obedient, that we'd be stronger in your Holy Spirit, and that we'd walk more in union with you. Thank you so much in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As we often do, I want to take time now specifically to share an article from the AFA Stand that we wrote that is entitled, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. Again, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy to you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Then Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Again, Proverbs 4, 1 to 7. Then Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. Parents carry their children in their hearts. Their children are very important to them and precious to them. As parents, we want the absolute best for all of our children in every area of life. An important truth for all parents to be mindful of is that the best we can give our children is Jesus. The greatest gift they can ever receive in life is Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus is eternal life. So as parents, we're very wise to do all we can to help and encourage our children to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Once our child is saved, it is one of the great responsibilities of Christian parents to disciple them. It's our calling from the Lord to help and guide our children to become strong, vibrant believers who love and follow Jesus Christ in their life and lifestyle. Why is this so important? First of all, we're commanded to make disciples. See Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And this very important calling is to start with ourselves and then move directly to our families, our spouses and children. So in considering the great responsibility of discipling our children, just what are some steps or practical building blocks we are to utilize? What are things we can do to effectively and practically carry out this important responsibilities? Let's consider a few things a parent can do to help their children to begin to grow up in the Lord. The following are some practical things, ideas, and suggestions Christian parents can do to help and encourage their children to come to know the Lord and to grow in their faith as well. First, we'd encourage you, pray daily with your children. Pray the Lord's Prayer with them and allow them to lead sometimes. Pray Psalm 91 daily with them. Allow them to hear you call their name in prayer daily. Give your children incentives to memorize and learn Bible-based prayers. Next, have your child read no less than 3 chapters in the Word of God daily aloud to you. You can find some shorter chapters, Psalms, or simply select a given passage for younger children. For children who do not yet know how to read, let them repeat short chapters or passages after you on a daily basis. Some could be Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 100, etc. Also, ask your child questions about what is read. What are two important things he or she heard or picked up from what they read? What stood out? Also, you can teach them, teach your children to obey the Word of God. Teach them to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. See James 1, 22. Also, teach your children the meaning of each of the Ten Commandments. Have them to memorize them. Teach them to pray the Ten Commandments every day for the church and our nation. Also, parents, it's very important for us to recognize this reality. Someone or something will disciple your child one way or another. In other words, certain people or things will capture your child's attention, interest, and or heart in this world. Some of these things may include celebrities, sports figures, television, the internet, things on his or her cell phone, video games, people they quote-unquote meet in chat rooms, etc. Some topics that they come across on the internet may captivate them in their mind and interest. And yes, these things can begin to quote-unquote disciple our children. Some of these things can begin to mold their thoughts, their thinking, and their perspectives about life and the world in too many wrong and twisted ways. And too often the results can be tragic. Consider sad incidents that you hear of too often in the news. Some of the news stories include that speak of young people. One, a teenage boy who was shot and killed by an individual as he tried to run away after stealing something from a store. Next, elementary age children attempting and sometimes succeeding in committing suicide. Also, young people committing suicide after being bullied online or in school. Another news story, three young girls went off into the woods and two of them tried to stab the third one to death. Another story, a teen recently walked into school and began to shoot, murdering a number of his classmates. And tragically, the news stories could go on and on. Where do these children and youth get the ideas and thoughts to do such things? Too often the devil, through the internet, social media, television and movies, video games, the devil is discipling our children in darkness. Too often these young people are consuming darkness by the gallon. Some of these youths may attend church, but many of them, while they consume darkness and put so much negative information and ideas into their minds, may literally never or almost never even open a Bible to read it. Parents, without question, we have much work to do in discipling our own children. And we have much work to do through the church in reaching youth in our communities. Yet greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We do not have to be afraid. We simply have to trust our Heavenly Father and diligently be about his business. God can work through each of us as parents to help our children greatly in helping them to grow up in the faith as we do the work of making disciples. Not only can we help them to avoid being victims of this wicked world, but we can also help them to become kingdom warriors. And as kingdom warriors, they can help bring Christ, the solution to all the world's problems, to a world that desperately needs him. The title of that article, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy to you. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Thank you once again, Father, for the wonderful privilege of being able to be involved in the great work of being disciples and making disciples. Anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to be faithful to do that according to your perfect will and way. Thank you for us as the church. Thank you for us as a nation, Lord. Help us as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth, and help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Into the deepness, the deepness. this heart of mine, it's you. It's you, Lord, it's you. Then everything else just falls in line.
Of Toby Mac with It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We are very grateful and honored to have as our phone guest today Pastor Phil Cochran. Also, he's retired Lieutenant Colonel Phil Cochran. He spent more than two decades flying the F-16 Fighting Falcon and training fighter pilots between 1990 and 2013. He's a father of seven, and they are grown, apparently grown at this time, and served for 23 years as the pastor of Covenant Grace Church in Perkins, Oklahoma. Phil, how are you today?
Joseph, I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me on your show, and I appreciate the time to be here. I still do have one 17-year-old daughter at home, so they're not all grown yet.
Okay, then. Well, again, honored to have you with us today, and also, you've authored a book that's entitled Lessons Learned at the Speed of Sound. A powerful title with probably some very unique insights. Let's dive right in. And first, let me invite you to share anything else that you'd like to share about yourself. Please feel free to share that. But then after that, we'd like to dive right in and talk about the mission and the message behind your book, Lessons Learned at the Speed of Sound.
Well, you bet. As you mentioned, I was a pastor for 23 years, and as I pastored the church, I noticed how many of the truths of the analogies, the things that I learned while flying the F-16 and instructing in the F-16 and in the T-38 really apply and magnify the understanding of Scripture. As I would teach exegetically through the books of the Bible, I kept drawing upon examples from my military career and my flying career. And you'd think it would go over the heads of individuals in my congregation that had no flying background or aviation knowledge at all. But what I found was is that after the services, they'd be coming up and saying, boy, I really appreciate that analogy. It really brought it to life. It helps me remember it throughout the week. And this is men and women and young women alike. So I was encouraged by them to write all these down over the years, and the book is consisting of 40 of the more than 180 devotionals that I've written from my time flying and instructing in the F-16.
Again, it's powerful how the Holy Spirit can help you to take analogies from other parts of our lives that help illustrate truth as we have opportunity to share it. So that's an interesting Amen. Story behind that. Well, can you share, as a fighter pilot, how fast did you actually travel? What was your top speed, and how would you compare the gravitational pull to like a roller coaster that is flying a jet?
Well, of course, speed is one thing, and pulling G's or the gravitational feeling of turning or banking the aircraft is another. The speed, I would frequently fly over Mach 1, over one times the speed of sound, which is around 760 miles an hour at the sea level temperature. The speed of sound varies with temperature, let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. And so, but I wouldn't really notice that until I came down from the flight and looked on my tape and saw that I was flying faster than the speed of sound at some point in the sortie. So it's not like you really felt that speed. Certainly flying down low, you could feel that you were going fast, but the G's were a whole other thing. You might, on a roller coaster, experience two G's, maybe a little more as you bank on the roller coaster and such. But in the F-16, we would frequently pull nine G's. So imagine that you sit here, I weigh 172 pounds, let's say. So when I pull nine G's, I weigh nine times that in the jet as I'm pulling those G's. So imagine it was as much a physical game as it was a mental game. And also a spiritual game. And the G forces that I experienced as a pilot that would press me down in the seat, to combat those G forces, I had to wear a G suit. Imagine a set of cowboy chaps over the legs, only this is zipped up super tight. And the G suit has bladders in it. And those bladders, as I pull Gs, inflate and press against my legs and press against my abdomen so that it keeps the blood up in the upper part of my body and helps me keep the blood in my brain. That's kind of important to think. But the G suit was constrictive. It didn't feel very good. You didn't zip it up walking out to the jet because it was so uncomfortable if it was adjusted properly. But when you zipped it up and got in the cockpit, even though it was uncomfortable, you knew it assisted in giving you life. You knew that it helped keep you alive as you were performing your mission. And I liken that to our Christian lives as we fight in our Christian life. And as the word says in Matthew chapter 7, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and the way is easy that leads to destruction. But those who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And, you know, that narrow way talks of a constricted way, just like the G-suit would constrict me and be tight on me. That narrow way is constricted or pressed in upon. And in our Christian lives, we need to be feeling that constriction. Even though we don't like to feel constricted, we need to be feeling the constriction of God's word as it teaches us and keeps us walking in that narrow way. If we don't feel constricted, maybe we don't have a G-suit on at all. Maybe we need to analyze whether we're truly in the kingdom at all, right? Right? Mm-hmm. But as Christians, that constriction of God's word, just like the constriction of my G suit, is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And, really powerful analogy there, I believe.
Okay. Well, before you go further, would you take a moment now specifically to pray for our listeners to have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast and through the message of the book that you share today?
You bet. Lord, we just come before your throne of grace, and we pray, Lord, for eyes that are open, ears that are unplugged to the truth of your word, that you would guide us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would teach us what we need to live our lives with Christ as our prize, with our eyes fixed before us, running the race and pressing on towards the mark, Father. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would empower us, and that it would be our guide, that he would be our guide, and that we would walk in truth. And, Father, that we would flee the flesh and the sinful temptations that are around us every day and cling to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Phil, now, I think you said you first started seeing connections between flying and the Christian life as you were pastoring the church you served for over 20 years, correct?
That was when the analogies started coming to me. As I would dig into Scripture and prepare a message to bring to the congregation, I frequently found myself going back to what I knew in the field of aviation and in my life as a fighter pilot and applying that truth to the messages. And I guess it's not out of the ordinary or it's not unusual to think that as I had to obey God's physical laws, if I was going to be successful as a fighter pilot, I couldn't ignore the force of gravity or the aspect of managing energy as I flew, using thrust and drag and lift and gravity, fighting all those forces. I had to abide by those forces as I was a pilot. The same thing is true in our spiritual lives. God has spiritual laws that we have to obey if we're going to be successful as Christians, not in our own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. But the same God created both of them. And so someone once said, all truth is God's truth. And so if we follow truth to its source, it's always going to lead to God. So whether it's in the physical realm or the spiritual realm, God is the source of all truth. And I think that's why these analogies work so well.
Mm. You know, that's fascinating to think about that, too. And I think you're exactly right, because, you know, I think as you just alluded to, it's so important for us to understand as believers that everything ultimately points to God. And so all Amen. Truth will do the same thing. So, yes, and I think we're wise to, as believers, to grow an understanding of that, whether it's laws of nature, gravity, whatever it might be. And it's all for his glory. And it all points to what a wise and mighty and powerful Heavenly Father our Heavenly Father is. Oh, you describe the cockpit in your book. You describe the cockpit as kind of a classroom. What would you say are some of the maybe some of the most critical lessons you gleaned from the classroom of the cockpit?
Well, there are so many. Like I said, I've written over 180 devotionals. I believe one of my favorite even goes back to when I was a young man, when I was mentored by an older brother in Christ that encouraged me. This was right before I was getting married. I was about 17. My wife and I got married when we were 18. We've been married 43 years now. And he counseled me that I needed to have a battle plan, that I needed to have verses memorized, ready to recall at a moment's notice when I was tempted by the world, the flesh, or the devil, our three enemies that we fight, right? So in the F-16 or in any military aircraft, we have checklists that we fly with that are always on our leg. And usually in an emergency, you have time to open up a checklist, flip to the right page, and work through the different action steps to resolve the problem. But there are certain emergencies at critical times where you don't have that freedom to take the time to open a checklist and look for the right page and work through it. Those times, in those situations, we had what were called critical action procedures. They were things that we put to memory that we could recall without having to open the checklist and take action on to help resolve whatever was going wrong with the aircraft. For instance, F-16 being a single engine jet, at low altitude, if I lost thrust in the F-16, my critical action procedure was zoom, storage jet, eject. I had to zoom the aircraft away from the ground. I had to jettison the stores, get the weight off of my wings, any fuel tanks or weapons or anything off of my wings so I could zoom higher. And then if the engine didn't restart or if the thrust deficiency didn't resolve, my only choice was to eject. So zoom, storage jet, eject. I had to know these critical action procedures by heart, and we were tested on them all the time. In our Christian lives, we need to have critical action procedures that we are ready to apply at a moment's notice, right? Because even Jesus in the desert, he didn't use the cultural wisdom of the day to defeat Satan, right? He said, it is written. He went to the Word. And in our Christian lives, we need to identify those besetting sins that we are battling on a regular basis and have God's Word memorized. His Word says, thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We need to hide God's Word in our heart and have those critical action procedures in our spiritual lives ready to call upon at a moment's notice.
Well, you know, you're touching on so many different things that relate to the Christian life, too. As far as the book itself, now again, the title of your book is Lessons Learned at the Speed of Sound. If someone listening is wanting to get a copy of your book, tell them how they could do that.
Thank you so much. Yes, it was published by Church and Family Life. Church and Family Life is a wonderful ministry that has all sorts of free resources on their website, but you can purchase my book through their website. It's churchandfamilylife.com. And it's Lessons Learned at the Speed of Sound. It's also available on Amazon. It's in every format you can imagine on Amazon, from Kindle to hardback to softback to audiobook. And then it's also an app on the Apple App Store. Soon, I believe, to be on the Android Store as well. But you can find it in all those places. So churchandfamilylife.com, a wonderful ministry focused on building strong families and strong churches through the truth of God's Word.
Okay. All right. Do you ever miss flying these days?
Every time I look up at the sky, I work across from an Air Force base right now, and I still see many of the jets that I flew, the same exact jets that I flew, doing approaches at the Air Force base that I work across from. So I have time in all of these jets training student pilots to be fighter pilots. And so, yeah, especially... What's interesting is as I work across from the base, if the wind is blowing in the right direction, I will catch the smell of jet exhaust. And as I get that jet exhaust smell in my nostrils, it brings back all the great mornings of walking out on the ramp on a crisp morning, and it's super calm, and you get ready to fly and punch through the sky and perform a mission. And it brings back all of those wonderful, fond memories of my time and the camaraderie of those that I flew with and just the great experiences of being a fighter pilot and being a military fighter pilot. It's interesting when you think about that aroma of the jet exhaust. To many people, that aroma would be distasteful. It mm-hmm. would kind of burn their nostrils, right? They'd think it was, wow, I can't believe that you really like the smell of that. And that's another powerful analogy to us as Christians, right? Because we know that we are the aroma of Christ mm-hmm. to God among those who are being saved, but we are a foul stench to those that are perishing, right? If we are mm-hmm. living our lives as Christ calls us to live, we are going to turn off those that are not being saved, right? We're going to be a foul stench in their nostrils, just like that jet exhaust is to those who maybe aren't fond of that smell. But mm-hmm. yet to those of us who are fond of it, it's wonderful. And the same thing to Christians. Me talking to you right now, it's a wonderful camaraderie that we have, even though I've never met you in person, but we know we are one in Christ as brothers in Christ, right?
That's
and
right.
So it's another powerful example of how we
I'm going to have to jump in here, Phil, because we can pick up right there on the other side in just a moment. Our phone guest today is Lieutenant Colonel Phil Cochran, Pastor Phil Cochran as well. And he's the author of the book, Lessons Learned at the Speed of Sound. We'll be right back. Music of Phillips, Craig, and Dean singing the Revelation song. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Lieutenant Colonel Phil Cochran, retired Lieutenant Colonel Phil Cochran, also Pastor Phil Cochran, and he's the author of the book Lessons Learned at the Speed of Sound, a devotional book that's very powerful and insightful that we've been talking about today. Phil, wanted to ask, would you share with our listeners one more time, if someone is wanting to get a copy of the book, tell them how they can do that.
Yes, it's available at churchandfamilylife.com. Again, a wonderful ministry with lots of free resources on their website. It's churchandfamilylife.com, Lessons Learned at the Speed of Sound. It's also on Amazon in every format you can imagine on Amazon, as well as on the Apple App Store. And, you know, what I really want people to take away from the book, those that read it, is that fighter pilots, our Christian life is not meant to be lived passively. You know, as fighter pilots, we didn't accidentally succeed. We prepared, we trained, we briefed, and then we executed the mission. And sometimes we might spend hours preparing for a mission and briefing a mission, only to fly the mission for maybe about an hour was the average sortie length in the F-16 if we weren't going to hit a tanker, if we didn't have gas on our wings or bags of, you know, tanks of gas on our wings. And then when we landed, we didn't just high-five each other and said, okay, we'll see you tomorrow, we'll do the same thing. We spent hours debriefing that sortie and evaluating what we did wrong, what we did good, what we could have done better. And then the most important part was how we were going to do it better the next time. And that debrief was vital if we were going to learn anything. And I think that as Christians, you know, we spend so much of our time running, flying at the speed of sound in our lives. We get up in the morning, we're rushed. We might spend a little bit of time in the Word, a little bit of time in prayer. We live our lives at the speed of sound. We come home exhausted. We flip on the TV or we start scrolling through social media. And we go to bed and we get up to do the same thing all over again. I want to encourage Christians to spend time debriefing their day to themselves. What did did you do good? Not in your own strength, but through the Holy Spirit. What did you fail at? What could you have done better? But then what are the action steps? What are the lessons learned from today? And what are the action steps that I'm going to apply tomorrow to walk that walk of sanctification down the path that the Lord has before me? To be proactive in your sanctification through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's one thing I really want people to gain from the book as they read these devotionals, which the devotionals have a verse, they have an analogy from my time flying that go with that verse, and then they have the truth of that verse taught in plain text, as well as an application back to the analogy and also to your lives. And then it closes with a wonderful Puritan quote, and then four lessons learned questions for every devotional that you can apply in your life and ask yourself honestly, and then a guided prayer at the end. So they're meant to be read in a few minutes a day, and I pray that they're a blessing to all those that get the book.
Okay. All righty. Well, in chapter 3, which is entitled Small Errors Compound Over Time, you talk about the importance of spiritual discipline. What would you say are some similarities between drifting as a fighter pilot and drifting as a Christian?
Joseph, yeah. The book of Hebrews says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it, right? And the F-16 or the T-38, whichever aircraft I was flying, at the speeds that we flew at, if I was on a low level and I was headed towards a target, first we need to know what target we're headed towards, right? And the target of our Christian lives is always to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever in everything that we do. But if I was flying towards a target, if I was only 1 degree off, and one degree doesn't sound like a lot, right? But if I was 1 degree off, after just 1 minute, I would be more than a mile off course. So 1 degree, 1 minute equals 1 mile. Imagine that over the length of a low level, how far I would be missing the target by the end of that low level. So we always had to correct. We had to correct because of winds that might blow us off course. We had to correct because every jet was bent a little bit differently. We had to correct because maybe we weren't flying the best that we could have been flying. We always had to correct back to course. In our Christian lives, it's so important that we do the same thing, that we're always evaluating what is our course. Are we on course? Are we accepting just a little bit of deviation? Are we being lazy in our Christian walk? Are we accepting a little bit of the world into our lives? Are we not holding that narrow course that God has us on as we should? And not only for ourselves, but think about your children, you know, with 7 children or however many children the Lord maybe has given you. What course are you launching them on in their lives? If you're just a little bit off course, how far are they going to be off course? And then we know that by the grace of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, He keeps us on course, but we still have a responsibility, as I just shared from the verse in Hebrews, to pay close attention so that we don't drift. It's the warnings of Scripture that are often God's means of keeping us where He is, in keeping us safe in Him. And so drift is so important to always evaluate and always correct back from.
All righty. Well, I want to ask you this too. Some sad statistics point out that, for example, 30% of American Protestant Christians attend church weekly, which is a sadly small percentage, and only about 32% read the Bible daily. What are your reactions to seeing tragic statistics like that?
Well, obviously, it saddens me. I'm not surprised in the culture we live in, and also the church so many times, so oftentimes, tries to appeal more to the culture than obey the word of God. You know, it's our job to obey. God determines the outcome, right? When I was given an order, a lawful order in the military, it was my job to obey and not to worry about the outcome. The outcome would be determined. So as Christians, we are to obey the word of God and not worry about the outcome. Let God determine that. And I think that it's important as Christians to realize that if you don't know the Word of God, then how can you live for God? if you don't understand that it's not my feelings that matter, my feelings are dangerous. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, right? It doesn't matter what I feel. When I flew in the F-16 or in any aircraft, any pilot that flies knows this. If I'm flying in the weather, I can't trust the seat of my pants. I can't trust my feelings. My ear, my inner ear is going to lie to me. I have to trust my instruments. I have to trust the panel in front of me that tells me which way is up and down and whether I'm banking left or right. And if I don't trust that, I can kill myself, you know, by just trusting my feelings. The same thing is true in our Christian lives. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. We can't trust our feelings. We have to be guided by something outside of ourselves. We have to be guided by the instruments that keep us flying straight and level in our Christian lives, and that's the Word of God. And so if you don't have a desire to know the Word of God as a Christian and to live it, then again, we need to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith or not.
Mm. Well, just a question. It might seem like an odd one, though. But for example, some pilots learn to fly without instruments. Isn't it dangerous to be a pilot and not be able to fly strictly by instruments?
Well, and that's where it goes to what kind of weather are you going to be flying in? If you're going to be flying in day VFR conditions, visual flight rules, where I can always see a horizon, then my eyes and the horizon keep me oriented so that I know which way is up and down. But if you're going to fly in weather, you have to learn how to fly by instruments. And I would say it's a necessity for every pilot, whether you plan on flying in weather or not, to gain some instrument time experience so that if you accidentally find yourself in clouds, mm-hmm. you know how to exit them without crashing, without going out of control. Mm-hmm. We know in our Christian lives that we are going to be flying in the weather, right? Mm-hmm. We know that we're not always going to be smooth sailing and clear blue skies and everything happy. And so as Christians, we need to be experienced instrument flyers by knowing the Word of God and being able to apply it to our lives.
Mm. All right. That's very interesting to consider that. Again, it seems like to me that you shouldn't be able to fly if you're not taught by instruments as well, but I guess that's beside the point. But according to Barna, when evangelical men, for example, don't practice spiritual disciplines, they're much more likely to be tempted by their flesh. I think of these statistics, for example, that say 35% of men have sexual affairs outside of their marriages, 66% view pornography at least monthly, and 35% view pornography weekly. What are your thoughts when you listen to those statistics?
Well, number one, it takes me back to that critical action procedures. We know that we're going to be tempted by the world, the flesh, and the devil, right? The three tempters from the garden, even, that Adam and Eve were tempted by. And so because we know that, it behooves us to have those critical action procedures memorized. But then it comes down to a desire as well. And we know, unlike in the F-16 or any aircraft, if you're experiencing an emergency, it's a bad thing and you want to get out of it. You don't enjoy that emergency, right? But sin, we know it says in the Word that sin is pleasurable for a season, but the end thereof is death. So the problem with applying critical action procedures in our lives towards our sinfulness is that sometimes we want to enjoy that sin for a season. And I think that then comes to the point of what are we gang-loaded? In the aircraft, in the jet, I had to, if I was experiencing hypoxia, which is a lack of oxygen, right? I would gang load my oxygen regulator. I would push all the switches forward so I was getting 100% oxygen under positive pressure and filling my body with that life-giving oxygen. Well, the same thing in our spiritual lives. Are we suffering from spiritual hypoxia, a starvation of Christ because we haven't been focusing on Christ? We haven't been breathing in the word and the truth of his word and prayer and fellowship, all of the means of grace that God gives us. Hmm. Have we starved ourselves of that oxygen, of that life-giving oxygen of Christ? And so we
Phil, I'm going to need to jump in right here. Our time is just about completely gone. And real quick, one more time, if someone wants to get the book, tell them how they can do that, please.
Yes, it's Lessons Learned at the Speed of Sound. You can find it at churchandfamilylife.com, churchandfamilylife.com, a wonderful ministry with lots of other free resources as well. You can find it on Amazon, and it's also on the Apple App Store.
All righty. Well, Phil, thank you so much for being with us today. And again, powerful, very interesting topics that you're dealing with as you share the message behind the book. Again, Lessons Learned at the Speed of Sound. Thanks again for being with us today. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We'd like to get in touch with you. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong and vibrant in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch again, joseph@afr.net. We look forward to hearing from you. Please pray much for Pastor Phil Cochran and the work, the mission and the message behind his book, Lessons Learned at the Speed of Sound. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.